told through his prophets. So we're going to be in the Old Testament today looking at this. And a lot of times we think that the Christmas story starts in Matthew, but the Christmas story is throughout the scripture in many different references in many different ways. And we're just going to talk about a few of them that are most overt that jump out and grab us today. But man, how awesome is it that God sent his son? And I just love John 3:16 whenever we see that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? But his son had to come. His son had to come to live in the man's body. He was fully God, fully man, born in a very special way, born as a virgin. All these things being foretold in the scripture, even in the Old Testament. But we really need to start out in the book of Genesis. This is not your notes. You can hang on to your notes there and open up to the book of Genesis chapter 3, because this is one of the major references to how God was going to save mankind. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It goes all the way back to right after the original sin happened that caused this curse to be upon mankind. And even as the curse was being pronounced, if we look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and this is where we're going to start today. He's speaking to the woman. This is God speaking to the woman and telling her how, to the serpent, I'm sorry, speaking to the serpent, and it speaks of the woman in his proclamation to the serpent. Let's start at verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And if we remember, it was the serpent who tempted Eve to disobey God. Amen. And tempted Adam and Eve to take the bite of the fruit of the tree that they were forbidden to take the bite of, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so now the proclamation from God of the judgment against the serpent is being proclaimed here. And so he tells him, and more than every beast of the field, on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. That sounds like judgment, right? That sounds like judgment enough. But listen to this next verse. This is the one I want us to take in. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Do you notice in your Bibles when it says her seed, it's capitalized? This is really the first of the proclamation about Jesus. He is the seed. The New Testament later proclaims that. And so listen to what it says about her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The head is a mortal wound. Amen? The heel is just temporary discomfort. And so what we see is Jesus came with a purpose in mind. He came, as God had already proclaimed all the way back in the Garden of Eden, at the original first sin that cursed every last one of us. All of us are born into sin. But we can't blame them because we choose to sin. Amen? When we're given the opportunity, we choose to sin. But even back at the original sin, it was foretold that Jesus would come. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that this is your doing. And Lord, we celebrate great Christmas. We celebrate it on December the 25th. And a lot of people argue, well, was that really when Jesus was born? And I say, let's not get hung up over the date, folks. Let's just worship Jesus right now. Let's just be thankful that you have come, Lord Jesus. That you have lived that perfect life. That you have given your life on the cross, Lord, paying for our sins. We just want to praise you that because you were first born, that because you did come, because you were willing to join us in this human experience, to take on the clothing of flesh, because you were willing to do it and yet never sin one time, that you kept your Father's desire and word and will perfectly, then you could go to the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. And Lord, that the story doesn't end there. We know that blessed Easter that we celebrate, the resurrection happened 3 days later. And Lord, it forever proclaims that you are victorious over sin, Satan, and death. And that anyone who comes after you, that trusts you, will have eternal life with you. Thank you, Lord, that we celebrate this wonderful story this time of the year. But this isn't some make-believe story. This story is true. And that's the best part of it. That you came to planet Earth to live and experience what we experience. So you could be that perfect sacrifice. Thank you, Lord. Let us celebrate that during this season. Let us not be dull. Let us not be half-hearted in this, but Lord, let us truly celebrate this truth. And even the prophets were celebrating it before it happened. And so, Lord, please help us to see that in the prophecies we read today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the world kind of tries to make it look like that Jesus came along and then he decided one day, well, you know what? Maybe I could be the Christ. I don't know, you know? But it wasn't like that at all. This was foretold. This was pre-planned. This was the sovereign work of a sovereign God. And so even in all of this, God had already proclaimed even the timing. When would Jesus come? And if we look at the book of Daniel there in chapter 9, I invite you to take some time later today and go back and look at these passages even more fully. Read the surrounding verses around it. But let's look at Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 through 26. In the first slide, he says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince." Who is Messiah the Prince? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, guys. Think about that, that the Prince has come. He is the Prince of Peace, right? We're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. But Daniel was actually sitting in a foreign land because of the judgment of God on the people of Israel during this time and during a 70-year exile. And God was proclaiming through him, the prophet, who would write this down and record it, even the timeline to where they could know when Jesus would come. And as we go through this timeline, you have to understand that the weeks that are being spoken of are 7-year periods of time. You know, a week is 7 days. And so in this, God proclaims the timing of the coming of Jesus. He says, "There shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublesome times." So the 7 weeks there is speaking of the time which would be fulfilled until they would be able to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. The 62 weeks is a longer period of time until Jesus would come. And he says, and after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. And so it's not just speaking of his coming. It's speaking of his the fact that he would die, right? And so that was also part of the plan. And then it says, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Speaking of the Gentiles. And the end of it shall be with the flood till the end of the war, desolations are determined. So in that, this speaks of the 69 weeks. But you know, in his prophecy, I just want to add to this. I want you to go back and read this more fully later. It speaks of 70 weeks. There's one more of those weeks that hasn't happened yet. And it's a 7-year period of time. And I believe that last week that hasn't happened yet, we're still waiting for it to happen, is the Great Tribulation. You know what happens at the end of the Great Tribulation? Jesus is coming back. And you know what, guys? The prophets were able to read this prophecy, and do you know they actually had a pretty good idea of about when Jesus was going to show up? If we get into the New Testament, which we're going to do next week, we know about the wise men who came because they had seen a sign. And they wanted to ask, where would the Christ be born? Where would this king be born? And you know, when they went to those scribes knew exactly where. And they had a pretty good idea of exactly when. But you see, they missed it because their heart was in the wrong place. They were jealous of him coming and taking that position. And you know, guys, I want to warn us, make sure we're not jealous of Jesus taking the rightful position in our lives. He has come. He has fulfilled what he came to do. Now let's celebrate him and let's give our hearts fully to him. Amen? You know, some of us may have professed Christ, The Jews were professing that they were the people who Christ would come through, but they missed it because they were jealous of his position. Let's make sure we give him the full position in our hearts during this Christmas season. Amen? Can we agree to do that as a church and as individuals in this church, that we're going to let Jesus have the reins of our life? We are going to joyfully receive his lordship over my heart during this season, during this time, during my life. And you know what? That way I can look forward to when that last week comes. Because at the end of that last week of years, Jesus is going to return. Man, what an exciting time that is. And you know what? It's going to happen exactly when God says so. Just like Jesus came the first time, exactly when he said so. You know, I was so amazed as I looked at these years and I did the math, you know, and I sat in my office and I figured it up. How many years it was until Jerusalem was rebuilt. And then I started figuring it up some more, and I started looking at the Old Testament, and I started looking at, man, I'll tell you, Jesus came exactly when God said so, when the fullness of time had come. It's so amazing to see that. Where would Jesus be born? The Old Testament tells us that as well. If we look at Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 3, but you, it says, Bethlehem Ephrathah, through you, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth, when the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. Where? Knew exactly where. Bethlehem Ephrathah. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And when those scribes were asked, when those wise men did come looking for the king, they knew exactly where. My question for you might be, why didn't they go to worship him? Why didn't they go? They had a pretty good idea when. They knew exactly where. Again, we're jealous of his position. You know, we got a world full of people that are jealous for the position that Jesus came to take. We need to proclaim to them through our lives and through our words that they need to let Jesus have control. Amen? We've got a world that's going crazy right now. Amen? We got a nation that's going crazy right now, bumping into one another like a bunch of knotheads, right? Saying, I think I know the way. I think I know the way. Jesus knows the way. He is the way. And that's what we need to proclaim during this time. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And you know what? He came exactly when God said, and he came to where exactly God said. Who is he? You might notice I have that listed twice because I'm afraid oftentimes we read over this area and we just kind of let it go over our heads and we move on. But let's look here at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Man, whose son? It's the Son of God. Capital S. And the government will be upon his shoulder. We got all these world leaders thinking they control everything. Guys, Jesus is the king. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Guys, he's not just a little baby in a manger. He's God. God was willing to be humble enough to come in that way so he could save us. But make no mistake about it, he is fully God. He is fully strong. He is fully in charge. Listen to what it says in verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even, how long? Forever. He is large. He is in charge. He is mighty. He is strong. And he is king
For how long?
Forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Oh, man, it just overcomes me with joy to know that God is in control. He has done it when he said, he has done it where he said, and he is fully God still to this day. The why? Because, guys, quite honestly, we couldn't save ourselves. Amen? If we look, it says in Isaiah chapter 33, 22, for the Lord is our judge. Do I get an amen to that? The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. It is our God who had to come to save us. You know what the name Jesus means? The Lord is salvation. Write that down on your paper so you don't forget that somewhere. Jesus literally means the Lord is salvation. He has come to save us, and he has saved us to all who trust in him. Again, in Isaiah 53:5, this is why he came. He was wounded, or 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Guys, he didn't come to die for his sins because he is perfect in every way. He never sinned. He came to take the punishment for your sins and mine. Does that humble you when you think about that? I hope it does. It humbles me, not as much as I should be humbled, I'm sure. But man, I hope that it humbles me enough to where I want to stop sinning. I want to get away as far from sin as I can get, to not covet sin in my heart, because it was because of my sin that Jesus was willing to be wounded. He was willing to be bruised. And it goes on to say the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So we celebrate the baby in the manger. And man, we look at how beautiful and amazing that is. We have a newborn here with us this morning. Amen. Just beautiful, defenseless. When you look at this newborn, I want you to think about the fact that's how Jesus came. How dangerous for the Son of God. And we know they wanted to kill him. But I'm just going to tell you, all of this was God's sovereign will, his sovereign plan. He even said that he would come through a virgin, right? That virgin birth is so important. The virgin shall be with child. That was going to be a sign to them. We find in the book of Isaiah, but I want you to know all of this was God's sovereign will. If we look at Galatians 4:4-5, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. You know, I meet with a lot of people throughout weeks and days and years, and whenever I do, I try to talk to them about spiritual things if I can. You know, not just deciding whether or not I'm willing to, but are they willing to talk about spiritual things? You know, we can't force the conversation. But oftentimes, I'll ask people if they have any church background or if, you know, they might believe in Christ or they might be a Christian. And a lot of people, you know, will say, yeah, you know, my grandparents were Christians. My parents were Christians. Have you ever had people tell you that? You know, I want to remind them, God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. There's only one way you can really become a child of God. And a lot of times I'll say, well, did you ever come to a place where you came to Christ? And I've had a lot of people tell me they were born that way. They were born Christians. Guys, we're born sinners. We are born sinners. We are selfish and sinful from our conception because two sinners came together and procreated. And if two sinners come together and procreate, they are going to have a little sinner. And because we are born little sinners, at some point in time, we have to confess our sins and give our heart to Jesus, to become a Christian. And so my question to you is, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Because the prophets foretold his coming. The prophets foretold the reason why he came. The prophets foretold when he would come. The prophets foretold why he would come and where he would come. So it's pretty obvious. He's it. He is the one. And then we know the rest of the story. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He rose again on the third day. So what reason do you have to not trust him? And if you haven't trusted him, then I'm going to ask you one more thing. If you believe and you're here today and you haven't trusted Christ, why not now? Turn your life over to Christ. Say, I want Jesus to be my Lord. That means my boss, my king. I believe in you and I want to follow you. And you too can be adopted as a son or a daughter to God himself today. You know, that is all that's required for you to be a Christian, to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to be able to be in heaven with him the moment you pass on from this world. Don't put it off another day, because you know, guys, don't even put it off another breath, because you don't know how many you may have. I'm going to confess today, if the Lord is drawing your heart, then you confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Become an adopted child of God, because that's the only children that are going to be in heaven, are the ones that are children of God. Let me pray for you today. Thank you, Lord, for showing us through the prophets that the whole thing of Jesus coming was no accident. It wasn't just a happenstance. It wasn't just something that one day he decided maybe he could be the Christ. He was sent for this purpose. He was sent at this time. He was sent to fulfill the will of his Father, and he did it perfectly. Thank you, Jesus, that you were faithful. Now, Lord, as you may have been just right at this very moment been helping someone in this congregation to realize this is true, I pray that they will just give their hearts to you. I pray that not one person will leave this congregational meeting today without being a Christian. Because ultimately, at the end of all of our life, it's the only thing that's going to matter is our name listed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Just like you came the first time, right when the Father said so, we know you're coming back right when the Father says so. And we noticed we weren't given the timeline on your second return. And that's because you don't want any of us putting things off to the last minute. You want us to move towards you now. So help us to make sure that we can know that we are a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen.